Let's read God's word. It's a great passage, a passage that has, I think, been greatly misused, but it's a passage that speaks of the wisdom of the cross that's revealed to us by the Spirit. So chapter 2, 1 Corinthians, picking it up at verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, these things God has prepared for those what no mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except his own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What have we received? We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and can't understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to mere human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Brothers and sisters, I couldn't address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarrelling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word, and particularly as we look at this passage now, we pray that your Spirit will help us as we think on these things to understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's some pretty weird gifts that you can give and that you can receive. And if you ever get a weird gift, like one of these ones, you probably won't know what to do with it. You probably have no idea what it's meant to be. Weird gifts. Well, one German grandfather had just such an experience when his daughter's family posted him a brand new iPad, a touchscreen tablet. They posted it to him as a present. A few days later, they catch up with him, and over preparing dinner, the daughter asks him, "So, Father, how do you like the new iPad we got you?" And here's the clip that gives you the answer. Okay, it's a clip from a German comedy skit, but you get the idea from that, don't you? Newfangled technology can be just a waste on some of us. A fancy new iPod used as a chopping board. That is a total waste of the iPod, isn't it? iPad. What a misuse. iPads properly used, they are a window into our world, aren't they? They're a window into fascinating information. You can connect with people around the world. You can discover the wonders of the world. You can just about learn anything by watching YouTube. Or you can chop veggies on it and keep it in the cupboard with your other cutting boards. What a waste. brothers and sisters, we have received something of far greater value than an iPad tablet. God has given us his Spirit. And the Spirit is like a window, a tablet window into everlasting realities of eternity. The Spirit enables us to see spiritual truths that nobody else can see. The Spirit enables us to understand the mystery of God's eternal plan. By the Spirit, we get to glimpse eternity as we endure this time-bound experience. But most of us, I think we're like the grandfather. We have no idea of the Spirit's work. And it's imperative that we learn to walk in the Spirit and to walk in the wisdom of the Spirit. See, God's wisdom teaches us not just what to believe, but also how to live. The Spirit doesn't just impart wisdom out of the air. It's not like some brainwave that you get. The Spirit is the message of the cross understood. The Spirit helps us take hold of the Christ on the cross. And the more that we take hold of that, the better we will be able to deal with the rotten worldly behaviour that keeps bugging us. Things like divisions and immorality and idolatry. Last week we looked at the cross, didn't we? We saw that the cross of Christ is simply foolish or offensive to those who don't see it. To the man on the street, that's what it's like. Your average unbeliever thinks it is nonsense. I used the illustration of the Romanian carp in a tin. In Romania, carp is spelled crap. And for those who cannot speak Romanian, who cannot read Romanian, that nutritious fish in smoke-flavoured juice remains a closed tin. Because who wants to open it? The wrapping is enough. If you don't understand Romanian, the wrapping is enough for you to ridicule it, those are the ones of you who are laughing, or be offended by it, those who are not. The same with the cross. You either ridicule it or you're offended by it if you do not have the Spirit of God. If you cannot read Romanian, you laugh or are offended by that. If you do not have the Spirit, you are laugh or you are offended by the cross. Those who are earthbound, those who are ignorant of heavenly realities, to them the cross is offence or foolishness. And here's why. Verse 14, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Do you see? The power of the cross is impossible to understand without God's Spirit. You will not get it. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter when Peter identified him as the Christ in Matthew 16:16? Do you remember what he said? Peter said to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what does Jesus reply? "Well done, Peter. Go to the top of the class. That was very good inductive reasoning on your part." Is that what Jesus says? No. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." It requires the revelation of heaven for us to understand the cross. Flesh and blood, earthbound humanity will never get it. But God in his grace has gifted us his Spirit. Verse 12, we have received the Spirit who is from God. And we have been given the Spirit so that we might understand what God has freely given us. We've received that we might understand. With his help, with the Spirit's help, we can read Romanian. We can understand heavenly speak. You know Oka Aussie? This allows us to understand Oka heavenly. The Holy Spirit allows us to understand the language and mystery of heaven. We have received so that we can research. When I went through uni, it's humorous to watch the O Week when all the students are getting their ID cards, and first-year students in particular, they go to uni, they get their ID cards, and they wander around, you know, very impressed with the ID cards, looking at it. Look at this. I've got a nice photo, good ID card, and so forth. The ID card is not to be looked at and admired. Its purpose is to unlock the UQ library, which is a massive resource with unlimited, virtually unlimited resources to all sorts of knowledge and wisdom. I did an arts degree. I unlocked about 50 books, and the rest I left untouched. Same with the Spirit. The Spirit enables us to unlock the full potential, the power of the cross. It allows us to take hold of what God has freely given us, the full gamut of what God has given us, and it will take us a lifetime and forever to fully comprehend this. So look with me at verse 6, the cross. This message of madness in the mindset of the world is not madness. Last week we looked at how they considered it foolishness. Just because, don't let peer pressure push you into thinking or conceding that the cross is an embarrassment. Just because your earthbound peers write it off as weak and foolish doesn't mean it is. It's anything but. Verse 6, we read, we speak a message of wisdom among the mature, not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and God destined for our glory before time began. The cross is infinite wisdom to those with Christian maturity. And Christian maturity, it doesn't happen by some weird secret initiation process for the privileged few. It's not some second-level Christianity that you get by meditation and, you know, eating cauliflower. Christian maturity is expected and it is open to every believer. If you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, then you have received the Spirit and you're expected and you are able to grow. To grow through exercise and effort in doing, it's like doing maths, only it's way more exciting. The subject is the cross, God's ancient wisdom. In that verse you can see that there's a contrast of age. See, age brings quality and prestige like aged wine. God's wisdom is not the wisdom of this age, not of the rulers of this age. It is not the wisdom of men or demons. Them and their thinking are coming to nothing, we're told here. No, God's wisdom is much more ancient. It is a wisdom that goes way back before time began, into eternity past. That is the message, the wisdom, that the mystery that has now been revealed. It is the cross that reveals it. The cross reveals our glorious and everlasting destination. This is the profound wisdom that you and I can uncover with the help of the Spirit. This is the treasure in the field that is so valuable that we'll sell everything else we have to gain that treasure. This is the pearl of such great price that we'll get rid of all our little pearls in order that we can trade for that. This is the mystery of the cross. See verse 8? None of the rulers understood it. If they had, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. They missed it. We magnify it. See, the cross is the apocalypse. Every man and his dog talk about the apocalypse these days, the zombie apocalypse, the end of world disasters, planes falling out of the sky, bombs nuking everything. But the apocalypse is not so much the end of the world disaster. Rather, it is the unveiling of an entirely new era. The cross is the apocalypse. It is the event that once you understand it, it changes everything forever. Verse 9, Paul quotes Isaiah, and we read what it was like in the past, and then we read what it's like now. In the past, Isaiah said, however, it is written, verse 9, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, these things God has prepared, the things that God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by the Spirit. You see, it was hidden in the past. See what the cross did? What was unseen, unheard, and inconceivable is now revealed by the Spirit. The word revealed there is the Greek word apocalypse. It means uncovering, a disclosure of knowledge, the lifting of a veil. The Lord of glory, our crucified Christ on the cross, he unveils, he reveals God's eternal plan. The apocalypse has happened. God's revelation has taken place. We can now see and hear and think through all the glory that we are destined for because the Spirit enables us to understand the revelation. And this revelation changes everything. If you have the Spirit, you've got a screen with which to look into the eternal reality of heaven. You have a window view of the mind of God. The Spirit gives us insight knowledge into the mind of God. Think about that. Isn't that just incredible? Look at verse 11. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? That's why I read the Daniel passage. We read the Daniel passage the story of Nebuchadnezzar. No one can tell a king what he dreamed. That's insane. Only the king knows what he dreamed, and I think he probably forgot. That's why he was so confused and didn't want to let him know. He didn't even know what he dreamed, but God knew. God knew what he dreamed, and God was able to reveal that. God is the revealer of mysteries. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. That's why we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Mind reading is impossible. At best, it's just a lucky guess. Sometimes Christine just sits on the couch and looks out into nothing, so I ask her, what's she thinking about? I get the weirdest of answers. Her mind works in weird, mysterious ways. If we can't figure out those who are nearest and dearest to us, what chance have we of got of knowing God? He is totally other. We are made in his image, not in his category or his class. What ant would have the capacity or audacity to claim to reveal your thoughts? What human being can fathom the infinite God? God is known through God alone. There's something really depressing here, isn't there? Human thought will never get to God. It's out of bounds. Our best thinkers botch it. What's so amazing is God is known through God alone, and the secret things belong to God, the things revealed belong to us. He has revealed. What amazing grace. We receive the mind of Christ. We have God revealing us his secret plans by his Spirit through the cross. See, maturity is us growing in the understanding of the cross. It's walking in the Spirit, ordering our life according to the cross of Christ. In its shame, its blood, and its death is hidden the priceless jewel of eternal reality. Do not be afraid to give up everything you've got to gain a better view of all that God has freely given you in the cross. There is no better way for you to spend your life than to grow in your view of what God has destined for you for all eternity. There's no better way for you to spend your life. Get the best view you can. You get the best view by exercising and studying and researching and reading and praying and discussing and comparing the things of the Spirit in the power of the Spirit. God has shared his thoughts with us so that we can understand what he has freely given us. He's given us his Son, his only begotten Son. He's given us life and joy and eternal glory. This is what we are to do. We're to look deeper and deeper into the wonder of the cross, enabled by the Spirit. This is where we see God's wisdom and glory, and nothing compares to this. Charles Wesley, in his great verse song, Love Divine or Love's Excelling, gets us close to the right place. Here's the words. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee, changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. That's how we too, when we activate our spiritual iPod, our spiritual ID card, we see this glory in ever greater measure. Those who grow in their understanding are growing in their understanding of God's glory found in the cross. I remember when I first came to Brisbane, it was quite a long time ago, I was still in my teens, I rented a room right outside the train station of Woolowin on the north side. Cost me $80 a week. They threw in dinner 5 nights a week. It was an absolute deal. First night I went to sleep only to be woken by a deafening noise as terrible vibrations seemed to be shaking the whole building down as the freight train came thundering past right underneath my window. It left me terribly disturbed and unable to sleep for a long time afterwards. That $80 didn't seem so good. But I stuck it out, that's my Scottish blood in me. By the end of the week, the train didn't bother me at all. I slept like a baby through it all. Mind you, that saying is only invented by someone who never had a baby, I think. I slept like a baby through it all. That disturbing event became a non-event. Make sure that is not your view of the cross. Make sure the cross, that life-changing event, is meant to do the work of transforming our lives from now on and forever. This world is not the real world, friends, no matter how much QUT bangs on about it. It is not the real world. University for the real world futures, that's just rubbish. Don't let anyone or anybody sell you such a lie. This fading world is dying and will come to nothing. It is soon to be brought to nothing. The real world is the world to come. The real world is unveiled at the cross, understood by the Spirit. So research the real world for a real future. The Spirit is like an iPad. It allows you to understand and see the world to come. iPads are not meant to be used as chopping boards, and nor is the Spirit to be used and abused. That's Paul's beef with the Christians in Corinth. They're not growing in the Spirit. They're not living cross-shaped lives in love. They're making no progress. They're years on and they're still in nappies and having milk. Why? Because the glory of the cross has never been appropriated in their life. They've just shelved it with the breadboards in the kitchen. And they're back living the way their earthbound peers all around them are living. There's jealousy and quarrelling. They're tearing each other apart. They're not building each other up. Have you noticed how people are glued to their screens these days? It's really quite alarming. Look what's beginning to happen to some people with overexposure to screen time. It's a real worry. They're being drawn into their screens. Give them away, guys, they're deadly. My point is, the Holy Spirit is our iPad, our screen to the glory of the cross, our eternal reality of the kingdom that is coming. Be glued to that reality. Be drawn through that screen into the glorious truth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Live and dream and strive for a bigger picture and a better grasp of the glory that is yours, destined before the world began. The wisdom of the Spirit, it is not exclusive. It is not elusive. It is not for the special cream of the crop, the initiated ones who somehow managed to zone out with Jesus enough. The Spirit is freely given to every believer, young or old. The wisdom of the Spirit is applying the cross in our daily lives in order for us to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. The Spirit enables us to understand Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Our work and our role is to fix our minds on Jesus Christ. We are to be ever drawn deeper and further into the knowledge and understanding and appreciation of what Christ has won for us on the cross. There's a brilliant scene in the movie Cool Runnings. Movie of the Jamaican bobsled team. You've probably seen the movie. The Jamaican team, they get mocked for aspiring to win the Olympic Games in a snow sport when there is no snow in Jamaica. One of the competitors has an even bigger dream. His dream, he carries a photo of Buckingham Palace and he says to his mates one day, "I'm going to make something of my life. I'm going to get off this island. I'm going to be rich and famous. And when I am," he pulls out the photo of Buckingham Palace. He says, "I'm going to live here." And they laugh him to scorn. And they say, "That's where the Queen lives." If you're ever going to live there, you've got to marry the queen. You're an idiot. And they ridicule him as an impossible dream. Friends, that's us. In the power of the Spirit, we're able to fix our eyes on Jesus. And we get to see a clearer and clearer image of the glory of the kingdom that is ours, that we will inherit. The world finds this hope ridiculous or offensive. But don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't screw up that photo. Our view of the real world actually beats hollow this shadow lands that we're currently living in. Through the word, through prayer, through fellowship with one another, let us continue to fix our eyes on Christ. Let us be drawn through into his everlasting kingdom. We are here for but a moment. We will be with the Lord for eternity. The cross before us, the world behind us, no turning back. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you will help us to better understand the blessings of the cross by the power of your Spirit. We thank you so much that you have not left us wallowing in the dark in our sins. Thank you so much that you sent Jesus Christ to live and die and rise again. Thank you so much that in his crucifixion, you unveiled your amazing and awesome plan for our eternity. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will keep enabling us to understand the work of the cross and to live it out in our life, that others may also see. In Jesus' name, amen.